Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair and speaking to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
September 18th marks the birthday of the United States Air Force, the Aerial Warfare Service Branch of the United States Military. It's time to reflect on the great history of the Air Force. World War II had been over for 2 years, and the Korean War lay 3 years ahead when the Air Force ended a 40-year association with the United States Army to become a separate service. The mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace. To achieve that mission, the Air Force has a vision of global vigilance, reach, and power. That vision relies on developing airmen, technology to warfighting, and integrating operations. The Air Force has come a long way since its formation in 1947, and the excellence and tradition are carried on in Minnesota by the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and the 148th Fighter Wing. With the increased emphasis on cyber warfare, I am confident we'll see the Air Force and the Air National Guard progress even further in our generation and generations to come.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're recording today from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And joining me now to talk about the Yellow Ribbon programs in Minnesota is the Director of Military Outreach from the Department of Military Affairs, Annette Kuiper. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here today.
Annette, the busy day at the fair. It's a fifth annual event, I think, the Military Appreciation Day. And you've been right in the middle of that every year, haven't you?
Absolutely. We have over 200 Yellow Ribbon community and company volunteers helping us out today throughout our program this morning to the different stations that we have and our expo area.
And we had General Nash on just before this, and he's having quite a day out here at the fair as well, isn't he?
He is, absolutely. We're keeping him busy.
I believe it when you tell me that. Oh, Annette, for the five people at the fair that maybe don't know about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, could you describe it for us?
Yes, Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program asks communities, companies, and counties to synchronize their efforts of resources to support service members, veterans of any age or era, and military families.
And can you tell us where this program started? I know you know.
Yes, it started in 2008 in Farmington, Minnesota. We worked with that community to ensure that we had a synchronization of effort between law enforcement, social services, veterans organizations, as well as the school district and youth programs and city leadership.
And the whole idea here was to reach out to Minnesota military families and help them during times when they had a loved one deployed.
Yes, the program really started to support during the deployment cycle, but it was so successful, it has grown to support veterans of any age, any military family, any service member, and it's truly working across Minnesota. We have 212 cities, 26 counties, and 47 companies that have become proclaimed Yellow Ribbon.
You have been busy, haven't you?
Absolutely. We continue to add more companies every month and more communities to the effort, and everyone is synchronized and working together to support our military-connected residents.
Now, Annette, I know that a lot of the communities give support such as basic things like mowing the lawn, shoveling snow, visiting with the spouse of a deployed service member. The companies, you've been working hard on that for the last couple of years. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes, the Yellow Ribbon companies make over and above commitments in the areas of veteran recruiting, hiring, and retaining, military-connected employee support, and military-connected community support. And what they do is really help us create environments for transitioning military, for somebody who's a Guard or Reserve member to work in a military-friendly organization, and to take a look at how they're supporting the service members and their employees and their policies and procedures in supporting service members and military families in their employ.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach at Minnesota Military Radio from the State Fair. Annette, a lot of these companies join forces with some of the communities for events, and they provide some financial support. They do all kinds of things. The whole program, the whole network really pulls together to support military families, don't they?
Yes, everybody synchronizes, and we ask them to provide volunteers when called upon to help military families. So just if we were to ask every Yellow Ribbon Network for some volunteers for some help across the state, we could enact thousands across the state on any given day to help a veteran or military family.
And we see evidence of it where once in a while you see an email come out and due to a flood or due to some problem, a family needs some furniture, and within a day or so they've got more furniture than they could use.
That's a problem. It works too well sometimes.
Yeah, we see a lot of evidence of that up in Hugo with Chuck Haas, and the Washington County is really organized, aren't they?
Absolutely. And one thing that the county does is amazing is they really connect all of their communities within the county. In Washington and Dakota County really work to connect their communities, share resources, share volunteers, identify what the needs are specific to their county.
Annette, we've come a long way from a reintegration program to help the returning service members reintegrate into civilian life and to help their families to adjust to that service member coming back when they were gone for a long time. And now you've got the communities, you've got the churches, you've got the companies, you've come a long way since this thing started.
It's amazing. Since 2008, our communities across Minnesota and our companies and volunteers have just been able to really give us some great opportunities to help and direct resources. We're in sustainment mode now, so we're in the next phase of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and we're in sustainment mode. We're connecting all of our key partners to our Yellow Ribbon networks, and key partners are like our county veteran service officers, our Department of Economic and Employment Development veteran employment reps, our family assistance centers, as well as we have a unit rep in every The Minnesota National Guard has a unit rep on the steering committee of every Yellow Ribbon network where they have an armory, in a community where they have an armory across Minnesota, which is 61.
Ned, I've got two questions for you. One is, a lot of these communities have been Yellow Ribbon for quite a few years. How do you keep them engaged? How do you keep them happy and renewed? And then secondly, where do we go from here?
Well, number one is it's so important to have those key partners connect, to have the county veteran service officer talk about what the needs are within that community and how they can become engaged with those needs and really help aid any military-connected resources that are in that community. Also, another sustainment is we're taking a look at how we have we done due diligence in connecting every Yellow Ribbon network with every resource in a community. So thankfully to the American Legion Auxiliary, the National American Legion Auxiliary, I have a grant. I've obtained two AmeriCorps VISTA members who are working with our communities to make sure we've connected all resources within a community, and we know that they're all synchronized to support military-connected residents.
So it's really an educational process, and the county veteran service officers make it their business to understand where all those resources are so nobody's duplicating efforts. But you also have to inform and educate the Yellow Ribbon Network so that they don't try to do things that other organizations are already out there doing.
Exactly. And once a year, we bring all of our Yellow Ribbon Networks together, and we're able to really update them on initiatives, to tell them what are needs specific to their region, and to build relationships and share best practices.
Annette, we've just got a couple minutes left. Where do we go from here? What's the future hold for the Yellow Ribbon Networks?
So the future is to double our efforts, to synchronize efforts, to identify resources. We're creating a mental health and financial literacy directory, a statewide directory to capture all of these wonderful resources that our communities have found across Minnesota. And we're going to have a statewide directory on our website. We're also going to be working with all of those resources, social services, mental health, suicide prevention resources, to identify best practices and to make sure they've connected with their Yellow Ribbon Network.
And what's our favorite website?
Is www.beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
There's all kinds of information there, and there's a place where our military families can go look for resources. There's a place where employers can go in there. There's a place for if you want to help people. That's a multifaceted website, and it's really the place to start, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we have a listing of our Yellow Ribbon companies who have been such great partners to us in hiring and coming in, volunteering within the community and connecting with community members throughout Minnesota.
So if you haven't looked at it yet, please go take a look at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Annette, just about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our visitors out here at the Minnesota State Fair?
Well, I just want to say we are so grateful to the citizens of Minnesota. They have truly risen to the the cause to support any veteran in any community, any service member in any military family across Minnesota. So there isn't anyone that we can't get to that we can provide help for, and our Yellow Ribbon networks are leading the way for that.
Annette, keep up the great work.
I will. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach from the Department of Military Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We'll be back with Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And this show has been all about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and all the programs and services available to help our veterans and their service members in Minnesota. And joining me now to talk about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, MDVA, is Dave Bellify. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks. It's great to be back.
We just had you on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about education, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. But for those folks here at the fair and those listeners out there, can you tell us, people have heard about the VA, it's a federal organization, and then there's the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. What's the difference?
Yeah, we are the state agency, of course, and I'll kind of give a little overview of the Department of Veterans Affairs just for your listeners. I know many of them listen to the program every week, but I think for those new listeners, let's just talk a little bit about the structure of MDVA. We start with a commissioner. That's Commissioner Larry Shelato. Many folks know that he's a retired two-star general, but something a lot of folks maybe don't know is that he's also an educator. He was a college president through the Minscu system, and he's charged with the 370,000 or so veterans in Minnesota. And within the Department of Veterans Affairs, we essentially have two different service areas. The first is our veterans' homes, and the second is MDVA programs and services. And the department has about 1,400 staff members.
Now, a lot of folks have heard about the veterans' homes because they're in the paper from time to time, but how many of them are there?
We have 5 veterans' homes located in Fergus Falls, Hastings, Minneapolis, Silver Bay, and also in Laverne.
But that's just part of the story, and programs and services is even bigger and deeper, isn't it?
That is correct. Our programs and services side is essentially broken into 3 different areas. We have education and employment, which is my area, and then Ron Quadi is over our claims area, which has 2 different offices. We're out of the Whipple building, and then we have an office in Fargo that services those counties that are in northwest Minnesota. And then Kathy Schwartz has the benefits area, and she's located in the Veteran Service Building.
As you said, Commissioner Shelato is charged with taking care of 370,000 or so veterans all around the state. And, of course, he works very closely with the county veteran service officers, and we're going to have a couple of those on during the 4th segment of the show, and we'll get into that in a bit. But if our veterans need anything, if they have anything that's service-related, we've told them over and over again on this show they should get their discharge certificate, their DD-214, go visit their county veteran service officer, get registered with them, get to know them. They might not need them right now, but their family might need them later. So get out there and get to know your county veteran service officers, and they'll get you started. And, of course, they can call your department as well at 1-888-LINK-VETS.
That's correct. We 1-888-LINK-VET or the www.minnesotaveteran.org.
So tell us a little more about programs and services.
Programs and services, again, the 3 areas. I have the education and employment area. And my staff are located out on the college campuses, and we'll talk a little bit further about education as we go along in the program today. And, of course, our partnership with DEED and the workforce centers, we are out there getting the veterans employed and moving them through the higher education system and out into their permanent job. In the claims area, again, that's Ron's area. He has the Gold Star Families Coordinator, the Women's Veterans Coordinator, also the claims representatives, and there's the outreach folks who are located throughout Minnesota, and some of them in the county offices or out at the federal VA hospitals. And those folks are out in the communities.
So the information that our listeners should pick up and all the folks at the Minnesota State Fair is if you're a veteran and you've got some issues, talk to your county veteran service officer, but understand there's a lot of help available from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
That is correct. And again, we're out in the communities. The county veteran service officers are out in each of those counties, but we would also have some staff out assisting some of the outlying areas and also in high veteran concentrated areas in the metros or St. Cloud, Rochester, and throughout the state.
We're speaking with Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs out at the Minnesota State Fair for Military Appreciation Day on Minnesota Military Radio. Dave, I just quickly want to talk about claims for a second, because if a veteran has some kind of issue that's service-related, they go to their county veteran service officer, they get the claim started and processed, but then they can come to the MDVA and Ron and his people, and they can help advocate for that claim and help document provide the documents necessary to support the claim, correct?
That is correct. Those the county veteran service officers will, of course, as you mentioned, initiate those claims, send them through our office. We then can act as the power of attorney on those particular claims, track those all the way through the process through adjudication, or if need be, through any board of appeals that the VA may send the claim through if it has been denied. So just know, the veterans out there, just know that you have somebody in your back pocket that can assist with this process from A to Z.
And another item I wanted to just touch on briefly is I know that you work closely with MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, and they're just completing their series of stand-downs around the state to try to help eliminate veteran homelessness. And they had a stand-down of the Boy Scout base camp early in August, I believe, and it was well attended.
That is correct. And throughout the state of Minnesota, the MACV stand-downs, and we are, of course, a part of that and work very closely with MACV and a homeless initiative. And Eric Grumsdahl is our homeless veteran coordinator for MDVA, kind of the special project. And he has assisted through MDVA and other services to create the Minnesota Homeless Veterans Registry. So a place where we can essentially register and ensure that these veterans are getting off the street and getting into permanent housing.
And we're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks and talk about how his first year has gone in that position. But, David, before we run out of time, I want to talk about education benefits, and that's an area that you work on closely.
Absolutely. And so the education benefits, as we know, most of the Minskew institution started classes about a week or so ago, and hopefully these men and women are kind of firm into their class schedules now, past the drop-ad dates, and their benefits are starting to potentially roll in now that we're in a new semester. There are state benefits and federal benefits that are available for any of these folks, and they can certainly go out to our website or give us a call at that 888-LINK-VET for further information.
And David, since you brought up Minskew, we've got another guest in the booth. It's Gina Sabania. Gina, welcome back to the show. I haven't seen you for a while.
Thanks, Tom.
Can you tell us about the Veteran Service Centers?
Yes, all of our campuses across the state of Minnesota have Veterans Resource Centers on the campuses. We serve over 11,000 veterans and service members. That was last year, fiscal year. And we also have Yellow Ribbon. The Minskew system is a Yellow Ribbon institution, and we have some colleges and universities that are also Yellow Ribbon. So we want to anticipate and to have more of those colleges and universities become Yellow Ribbon throughout the next year.
So when our veterans come back and get off active duty or come back from deployment and want to go to school, you've got people right there on campus to help them with any questions they might have.
Yes, we do. And also we do award academic credit for their military training and experience so that when they come to our college or university, they can receive credits that will help them apply to the program of their choice.
David, you've got help everywhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, our partnership with Minskew and the Minnesota Guard and also with DEED, it's been something that, you know, we can really embrace here in Minnesota. And specifically our partnership, as Gina kind of mentioned, out on the campuses and at Military Appreciation Day today, we partnered with Minskew for a table during that event throughout the day today, and also at many other different events throughout the state of Minnesota and with the Minnesota National Guard. So it's very strong.
Gina is a Vietnam veteran. When I came back, there wasn't much there to help us, but today there are resources just everywhere. And it seems like you're all working together pretty well.
We are. As Dave said, the partnership is great. And when I work with service members, I always say, let's pay it forward for the next generation so that we not have that gap again that you had returning when you returned from Vietnam.
And David, we just got about a minute left. Where can our listeners go for more information about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
We can go out to our website, which is www.minnesotaveteran.org, or you can certainly call our LinkVet line at 1-888-LINKVET.
And Gina, is there a good place to get in touch with the Veteran Service Centers and your office?
Absolutely. It's www.veterans.minscu.edu.
Okay. Any final thoughts, David?
I think that, you know, this is a great day out here, and we're showcasing our veterans in Minnesota. It was wonderful to have all of the men and women come up to our table today and to see the folks that are participating in Military Appreciation Day. And I think we have a strong Department of Veterans Affairs who's led by, obviously, a very formidable leader.
And Gina, we kind of drafted you out of the audience to come in and help today, so thanks for joining
me
again on Minnesota Military Radio, and I hope you don't hold it too much against us.
I won't.
All right, thank you. That was David Bellefay from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Gina Sabania from MinSCU on Minnesota Military Radio. From the State Fair today for Military Appreciation Day, please stay with us. We'll be right back with David Swantek to talk about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update from on the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries from Dave Swantek. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I recently attended the 2015 annual conference of the National Association of State Directors of Veterans Affairs, known as NASDAVA. The conference is the annual meeting of those of us designated to oversee veterans' issues in their state. This provides us with an opportunity to address commonly shared issues from veterans' benefits to health and homelessness. The conference included a host of attendees from the private, nonprofit, and public sectors. We are connected by the bonds of honorable service and united by our common goal to make a positive difference in the life of veterans. I learned valuable information on how we can better serve the veterans of our state and look forward to our future.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Dave Swantek is the Cemetery Director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery. And Dave, we had you on the show a few months ago and talked about the state cemeteries, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Can you tell our visitors here at the fair and our listeners about the Minnesota State Veterans Cemetery? The first one is up in just outside of Camp Ripley.
Yes, it is. I've been there since 1994. First burial took place in June of that year. We've been operating ever since, and the number of burials that we're doing every year has increased, and now approaching 6,000 burials since 1994. So we're a busy cemetery.
And every time I go up to Ripley, I drive through there, and you keep the place just immaculate. It's beautiful.
Well, I got a great staff. I don't do it, but the guys there do a great job. When you drive in, you're right. It's magnificent. It looks beautiful. We get lots of compliments on the grounds and the headstones and the alignment of headstones, all the things that people think about in a veteran cemetery, and it's definitely a team effort.
And in the main building up there, you've got some murals that are being created. How are they coming?
They're coming along well. Our friend Charles Kapsner is the artist, a local artist from Little Falls. He's on the third painting. These are 8-foot by 10-foot oil paintings, five of them, each depicting the five branches of the military. The one that he's currently working on, the third of the five, is for the United States Coast Guard, and he anticipates having that finished up this fall.
So for all our veterans out there here at the State Fair today or listening on the radio stations or the network of 23 stations around Minnesota that carry Minnesota Military Radio, might sound a little funny, but the next time you're up near Camp Ripley, stop in there and see the museum, but make sure you stop at the State Veterans Cemetery up there and take a look at those murals. They are just incredible.
They are. Really has been a wonderful addition to our cemetery administration building there, and experienced by hundreds and hundreds of families that use our facility there.
Now, David, I understand that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has tasked you to oversee the design and construction of 3 new state veterans cemeteries.
Well, that's correct. It's been a monumental task so far. Locations in southeast, northeast, and southwest Minnesota, in addition to Little Falls. So we're, you know, the success that we've had in Little Falls, I think, has been recognized with state legislators, stakeholders, veterans, and they want a facility like this in their community or their region where they can take advantage of this benefit. A lot of times we find that a burial in a veteran cemetery is one of the only benefits that a veteran's ever asked for. And so for us as the Department of Veterans Affairs in Minnesota to be able to offer that service to our veterans is important. And having it in other corners of the state where more veterans can take advantage of that is very important.
So the choices today are either go to the federal facilities such as Fort Snelling, which is a federal VA cemetery, or the state veteran cemetery right outside of Camp Ripley. And sometime over the next few years, I don't know how many years, there's going to be more choices so that the veterans can be buried closer to home so that their families can visit.
That's correct. We find that if a veteran has to travel more than 75 miles or so from home, they're going to tend to choose a more local option, whether it be a city cemetery, a church cemetery. So then they don't have the ability to take advantage of this benefit. So having these in these new regions of the state for Minnesota is very important for the veterans that live there. And we know that the response is going to be overwhelming. It's already overwhelming just in having discussions about these new facilities.
We're speaking with Dave Swantek, who is the cemetery director of the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio from the State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Now, Dave, you've got a new one that you're working on in southern Minnesota, and last time I talked to you, you told me it was the Rolling Hills, so I said, okay, we're going to have our own version of Arlington. How's it coming?
It's coming along well. It hasn't been quite as quickly as we would have hoped with the construction, but Mother Nature has not cooperated with us very well down in southeastern Minnesota. Last summer and then this summer as well, lots of rain, and with the project being so much site work, that's caused some delays for us in finalizing or finishing the construction. But we're almost 2 years into construction, and I'm happy to say that we're going to do our first burial on Veterans Day coming up here in November. It's a huge milestone for us, our agency, for the state, to open our second state veteran cemetery.
Now, do you think that cemetery in Preston's going to turn out as beautiful as you'd hoped?
No doubt about it. It's going to be absolutely a stunning facility. Like you say, the Rolling Hills, the Root River Valley, a lot of people are familiar with the Preston-Lanesboro area with the bike trail that's down there. The cemetery is right in that vicinity, the Root River, and it's just an absolutely magnificent piece of property, and turning that into a veteran cemetery it's going to be a monument. It's going to be a monumental facility.
Now, was the land for that cemetery donated?
It was. The commissioners in Fillmore County came forward after we started discussing this in the state legislature in 2008. They came forward and offered this piece of property that they had owned for several years to be used for a cemetery down in southeastern Minnesota. And when we first went and looked at the property, I don't think we expected it to be as beautiful as it is. And what they donated to the state and ultimately to our veterans obviously be there forever, and a perpetual facility, a cemetery, recognizing and honoring the service of our veterans and what they've done to provide protections and freedoms for all the things that we enjoy.
Now, have you scheduled a dedication ceremony?
We have. We're gonna open the cemetery in November, but we're not gonna dedicate the cemetery until May. So we're gonna coincide that this next spring with our annual memorial service, which will be held on May 29th, I believe. It's a Sunday, the day before Memorial Day. So that's the day that we will dedicate the new cemetery in Preston.
Oh, we hope to have you back on before then, and we'll tell our veterans all about it and get them down there. Now, we just got a couple minutes left. There's two other cemeteries that you're working on as well in planning.
There are. The northeast region of the state, up around Duluth, and then also in southwest Minnesota, Redwood Falls. The Duluth area, we are very close to acquiring the property for that cemetery. We've been meeting with MnDOT regarding access off of Highway 53 for the facility. We've gone through some wetland mitigation work with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We've done a lot of the due diligence for that piece of property up there, and we've now are quickly moving into the actual design of that facility. And it's our goal to begin design here this fall, and then a year from this fall, start construction. So we're rapidly moving towards our third cemetery.
David, you must be burning up some cars running around the state to get all this stuff working.
Yeah, thankfully. It was my own car for a while, but they've got me a fleet vehicle now. And so, I'm putting on a lot of miles, a lot of windshield time, but very well worth it. And I'm honored to do this.
Now, you started your career in Casper, Wyoming at the Oregon Trail State Veterans Cemetery out there, but you've been in Minnesota for quite a while now. Have you given up on that state? Are you a true Minnesotan now?
I know you have a fond love for Wyoming. we've talked about that in the past, but no, I'm not giving up on my home state, but I definitely am a Minnesotan, got raising my kids here, and it's been great. 20 years next summer, it's hard to believe that that much time has gone by.
Well, you've got a great mission and a lot of work ahead of you, but from what I've seen up in Little Falls, you're doing a terrific job, so please keep it up. There's veterans all over the state that need these cemeteries.
I appreciate that very much, Tom.
Dave, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Swantek, the cemetery director for the Minnesota State Veterans Cemeteries here in Minnesota. From the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, please stay with us. We'll be right back with two very important county veteran service officers so that we can talk to you about their program and all the good work they do. So please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. We've been talking about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and all of the programs and services and veterans homes and cemeteries and all the information and resources available for our veterans. And we have in the studio today a couple of the most important people in the state of Minnesota. They're called County Veteran Service Officers. And my understanding is there's one in every county, and in some of the big counties there's more than one. But the reason they're so important for veterans is anything veteran-related, if you have any type of issues related to your service to their country while you were in military service, you need to take your DD-214, your discharge certificate, and go visit and get to know your county veteran service officer. They usually hang out somewhere around the courthouse, and if you look them up, if you go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website, there's a whole listing of all of them with their phone numbers and where you can find them. But go in there and say hello, even if you don't have any issues and don't need them right now. Register your DD-214 with them because you might need them in the future and your family might need them. But joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, David Anderson. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom. How are you doing today?
Well, it's a great day out at the fair. We got a lot of veterans here. It's Military Appreciation Day. There's been I'm sure you were over at the ceremony this morning, and a lot of good folks at the fair, and a lot of information here, and a nice day for veterans to come down, a little discount on the admission, and lots of things to see and learn. But this is your first time in the studio with me. You usually call in from Wadena.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's kind of a treat to be able to sit here live with you and check this out. So, yeah, I thank you.
So, David, can you tell us how long have you been a County Veteran Service Officer up in Wadena County?
Tom, I've been a County Veteran Service Officer about 9 years. Actually, 9 and a half. My 10th year will be in April. And I can tell you that it is absolutely one of the most rewarding jobs that I've ever had. I'm a 23-year retiree of the United States Navy. And, I was just kind of working at the library, and then this job became available and I was picked. And if I don't do this until I'm 65, I'll probably do it till I'm 70, because it's absolutely wonderful to work with veterans, to talk with veterans daily.
And you've been the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers for almost a year now?
Yes, almost a year. By the next Grandview or our conference, it'll be a year, and then my term will be up.
And you graciously allowed us to have you call in every fourth week and tell us what's going on that's veteran-centric, and tell us how to deal with some of those issues and how to get through the system.
Yeah, and that's been real rewarding. I've had a lot of veterans that have heard the show and actually come and sought me out in my office. This is absolutely a wonderful program for the veterans, this Military Talk Radio.
And how many veterans do you think you have up in Wadena County?
Well, we have about 1,200 in Wadena County. We're not one of the biggest and we're not one of the smallest, but they keep me busy.
9 years, you probably met quite a few of them.
Probably close to 1,000.
And it's got to be rewarding to help those veterans when they have some kind of issue.
I can tell you that if you get a veteran or a spouse or a widow that needs your help and you get them the benefits that they have coming, it is absolutely wonderful. Your day is just, and it's a great day, it's a great day week, and sometimes it's really a great month.
Well, David, one of the things we haven't talked about on the radio, because we're usually talking about something specific to veterans, is the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. I know you have a fall and a spring conference, but you're doing a lot of training at all times. You're County Veteran Service Officers. There's a lot to know and a lot of resources out there, and you're always training and studying and learning new things.
Yes. You know, we have the spring trainings, the fall trainings. We have national trainings. And then a good veteran service officer, county veteran service officers, always looking on the websites, going through the books and publications to make sure that they have the most accurate information on any of the VA programs.
So as president of the association, you're always looking forward to the next convention and saying, okay, what do we need to bone up on? What do we need to get better at?
Yes. Yes, it is, Tom.
Have you had a favorite moment in the last year as president of the association?
By talking to you on the radio.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I'll tell the truth, David. It's got to be related to helping some veterans that had some serious needs.
Yeah, we had a veteran up in the county that was previously denied for a condition that we got him service-connected, and he ended up getting 100%. And when he got that, just the look relief and joy on his face and his spouse's face, that was probably my most favorite moment. And then my other most favorite moment is being able to work with my vice president, Lisa Klink from Sibley County, at the Association of Minnesota County Veteran Service Officers, and working with all my fellow CVSOs.
And also joining us in the studio today is Lisa Klink. Lisa, he did it. That was a nice segue, wasn't it?
That was a very good segue. Thanks,
one of his
Dave.
Favorite things in the year was working with you.
I know, right?
So you're vice president this year.
I am. And it's been a very interesting vice president year. And we've done a lot of great things as far as an organization. I think Dave for his leadership. And I think that's so important is to remember that as an association, not only are we held, you know, a higher standard to ensure that we're helping veterans, but we're also providing, guidance for veterans who do the job. Every one of us in the state of Minnesota are veterans. It's actually a state statute that CVSOs are required to be veterans. And I think that's one thing that's amazing about the state of Minnesota is that we provide veterans serving veterans, and we provide jobs for veterans by ensuring that a CVSO is a veteran. And it's such an important thing because I think relatability is very huge. You know, for me, especially as a woman, you have a vet come in who's from World War II or Korea, and they're looking at you like, okay, you're a young punk, but you're not really that young. But, and thinking, what do you know about being a veteran? And then when they see the pictures of me on the wall and they see that I served, it really has that connection and credibility that I know what I'm talking about and I know what MOS means. And, you know, when you talk about, jargon in the service. And so it's really important, I think, to have that. And I think that's a great thing that Minnesota does as a state is ensure that veterans continue to hold that job. And so as association, you know, that's important for us to keep that statue alive and well. Also as an association, it's really important for us to serve our veterans. And it's a great opportunity. I always say this is my retirement job. And it's great.
And Lisa, how long have you been a CVSO?
I've been doing this for 8 years.
You're up in Sibley County?
Actually down in Sibley County.
Excuse me.
That's okay. The county seat is in Gaylord, and I've been doing this job for about 8 years now. And I prior to that, I worked in corporate America before I Was in the service, and I was in the Army, and I was stationed in Schwäbisch Gmünd, Germany.
And how many veterans do you think are in Sibley County?
I know there's about 1,200 veterans.
Okay, and is there a big difference in the veteran population there as opposed to Wadena County, or are they pretty much the same?
I think it's pretty much the same. It's rural. I think that's one thing that we're seeing, too. You know, a lot of Vietnam veterans are coming out because insurance issues. They're looking to retiring. I also see that we're having a lot of younger veterans coming out, coming home, coming to rural America. And for whatever reason, it's, you know, the family farm, or it's a quieter place. It's not the city, because of whatever issues they've had in service. Rural America is an attraction to these younger folks.
Well, Lisa, a lot of my buddies from Vietnam are retiring or getting ready to retire. You see some of them wandering in the door now, and we weren't welcomed back, and a lot of them didn't talk to county veteran service officers then, but are they coming in now?
Yeah, and I have to say, Commissioner Shalito played a huge part of that. I think he realized, you know, he is one of those individuals who served in Vietnam and came back and knew how they were treated. You know, you were treated, Vietnam vets were treated, and I think he wanted to ensure after these, you know, most recent wars that no one were treated like that again. And I, you know, the things that he's done in support of veterans in the state is huge. And, you know, we have the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program because of him. We have, and others, and that support. And we also have that now. It's a national, it's recognized nationally. So Minnesota has really been a forward thinker in the way we treat our veterans.
Now, Lisa, David's term as president is just about up. Are you going to be, how does that work with the association? Are you going to be running for that office?
That's what I would like to do, and that's what my intention is, yes.
So is there anything special that you want to finish up on that maybe he started?
Well, I think Dave continues to legislation and ensuring that veterans get the benefits, that we continue to have homes that are, you know, funded, that the state of Minnesota continues to fund those homes, that we continue to hold the VA accountable and to ensure, you know, that we're the advocates for the veterans. And I think the biggest thing is that as a CVSO, we're that connection to the veteran, and the American Legion, the DAVs, the Military Report of Purple Hearts, those folks are those advocates with the VA regional office. So it's our job to ensure they do their job.
Well, Lisa, good luck with running for president, and I hope that if you win, that we can have you on the radio every fourth week or so and talk about the issues important to our veterans.
Thank you for your time.
David, just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our visitors here at the fair and our listeners back at home?
Well, hopefully everybody enjoys their time at the fair, and I'm just going to echo what Tom says. If you haven't seen your county veteran service officer, come on out and see us. We'll get you what you need.
Call them up, make an appointment, stop in, get your DD-214, go make a new friend if you're a county veteran service officer. David, thanks for joining us. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was David Anderson and Lisa Klenk, county veteran service officers from Minnesota. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Annette Kuiper, David Swantek, David Bellify, Lisa Klenk, and David Anderson, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Navy League here in Minnesota and speak to some Gold Star families about their lost loved ones. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.